Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your compassions toward us. Thank you, Lord, for making all things work together for our good. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your peace and joy that fills our hearts. Thank you for destroying the attacks of the enemy that were targeted on us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for good things you have released into our lives. Thank you for helping us to grow mature in the things of you. Thank you for blessing us with divine revelations. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for the doors you have opened for us. Thank you for sending opportunities into our lives so that we can succeed and excel through those opportunities. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for every teaching you have taught us through the Bible study classes we have been having on this platform. We thank you for new things you are still going to teach us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. We are here in your presence. We'll learn more on the subject of persecution. Oh Lord, speak to us from your heart in Jesus' name. Help us to become more prepared for all kinds of persecution and to stand victorious in every persecution in Jesus' name. Take over this meeting, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. We welcome every one of you to the Lord's praises. We're going to continue from where we stopped. Don't forget, we have been looking at a topic that says persecution. And we stopped on the topic that says God is with and helps those being persecuted. God is with those being persecuted, and God helps them while in persecution. So today we are going to look at another topic that says God allows persecution to spread His message and messengers. God allows persecution to spread His message and messengers. That is, God uses persecution to spread His message. Yeah, God allows persecution to happen, and then God takes advantage of it to spread His message to places where people need to hear His message. And not only that, God also uses persecution to spread His messengers. In Matthew chapter 10, this is the Lord Jesus talking. Matthew chapter 10, verse 23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Matthew chapter 10 verse 23. We can also look at it from another translation. Matthew 10 23. This is New Living Translation. When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you the truth, the Son of Man will return before you have reached all the towns of Israel. Yeah, so here Jesus himself said we should take His gospel to other places. Even after we have been persecuted in a place, yeah, except the Lord tells you to remain in a particular place, you should not stay in that place when there are other places to spread God's message or to preach the gospel. There are cases where God would tell some believers and some ministers to remain in a certain place and not leave that place, irrespective of whatever persecution they face. Yeah. But if God is not saying that to you, whenever you are being persecuted in a place, it is an opportunity to take the message to another place where they are likely to receive the message of the gospel. Yeah, because the gospel of the Lord is not something that people have to be forced to believe. Yeah, God will not force himself on man. Yeah, God intentionally created man to be a free will creature. Yeah, God wants man to be able to decide for himself what he wants. Yeah, so that is why God will not force himself on man. If God wanted man to have no choice, if God wanted man to have no choice, he wouldn't have created man to be a free will creature. Yeah. Somebody said my voice is breaking. Is it the same with the rest of you? Yeah, let me know if my voice, if my voice is also breaking on your hands. Yeah, as I was saying, yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, as I was saying, I said, if God wanted man to have no choice regarding repentance and salvation, he wouldn't create man to be a free will creature. He would probably create us to look like robots. Yeah. Thank you for the notifications. Yeah, so he would create man to be like robots. Yeah, robots. You know, robots, they are like computerized computer gadgets. Now, you just press certain things and then they start moving. They can be remotely controlled. Yeah, if God doesn't want man to have his free will, he would probably have created us to look like robots, and whatever he tells us, we just do it whether we like it or not. In fact, we will have no feelings, yeah, to decide whether we like something or we don't like something. We'll just do whatever he tells us to do. Yeah, but human beings are not like that. We are not robots. We are free will beings, which implies that we have the power to choose what we want, and we have the power to reject what we don't want. And that is how we will also choose salvation and reject salvation. That is how we will choose life and reject life. So God intentionally created us to be free will beings so that we can decide if we want our souls to be saved or not. Yeah. So because of that, God is not going to force any man to repent and be saved. God is not going to force anyone to surrender to Him and to obey Him. He's not going to do that. Yeah. So in a case where you have tried preaching to someone, or you have tried preaching in a place, and you encountered a lot of rejection and persecution from the people or from the person, and Jesus said you should take the message to another place where they are likely to listen to you and to believe your message. Yeah. So usually God used persecution to confirm that the people in your environment don't want the gospel and they don't want to be saved. Yeah, usually God used persecution to confirm that to you as a believer and as a messenger of the Lord. God uses persecution to confirm to you that the people you are preaching to don't want Him and don't want His kingdom, and that you should take the message to another location. Yeah. Though sometimes you still need to pray and be sure that God is releasing you to another location. Yeah, because sometimes the Holy Spirit might want you to persist in preaching to the people that are persecuting you. Yeah, so we should not be very eager to leave the place where we have been persecuted, because the Lord might want us to still spend some time in that place preaching His word. Yeah, so it is important to seek the Lord's counsel, to seek direction from the Lord, to seek the Lord's leading whenever you're considering moving to another place to share the gospel. Yeah, because sometimes God wants you to spend a long time in a location to continue to feed them with the word of God, to continue to preach and to teach them the gospel. Yeah. And if the people in that place suddenly began to attack you and began to reject you, you should not be in a haste to leave that place. Yeah, because your assignment in that place is not yet finished. Yeah, you should not be in a haste to leave, except maybe you prayed again and God said you should leave. Yeah, so sometimes God wants you to still remain in that place because you will still prevail over the people through your prayers and preachings. Yeah. Orestes. Jesus was being persecuted in many places in the land of Israel. Yeah. In fact, he was persecuted the most in Jerusalem. But we saw him returning to Jerusalem, yeah, to still preach the gospel to them. Yeah, despite the fact that he knows they were going to kill him. Yeah. So he knows that it was the right time to return to Jerusalem. Yeah. So we should seek the Lord's guidance and not just leave a place because we have been faced with persecution in that place. The truth remains that if it is not yet your time to be killed by the enemy, that is by the enemies of the gospel, you cannot be killed. Yeah, they tried to kill Jesus several times, but they did not succeed because it was not yet his time to die. Yeah. So that the Lord will give you more understanding. There are some people who have experienced persecution in certain churches. And the next thing they wanted to do was to leave the church. Yeah, some even left the church. Yeah, whereas God still wanted them to stay a bit longer in that church because God wanted to use them to free many people in that church. Yeah, so we should learn to pray more and be sure that God wants us to leave the place where we are currently experiencing persecution. So we should not just leave in a haste because we are so afraid of being hurt by those people. Yeah, I pray that the Lord give you more understanding in Jesus' name. Let us also look at, okay, before I move to the next verse, yeah, let me read that Matthew chapter 10 verse 23 again. It says, when you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you the truth, the Son of Man will return before you have reached all the towns of Israel. Now, anyone that reads that verse might be confused, especially with that part where Jesus said, his coming would have happened before his disciples have finished moving around all the towns in Israel, sharing the gospel in those towns. Yeah. So anyone that read that verse might be confused and start to think that you know, even start to think, where is Jesus now? Because the towns of Israel must have heard the gospel by now. Now, you know, anyone reading this particular verse might start thinking that, you know, might start asking questions like, has the gospel not reached all the towns of Israel yet? Because Jesus said that he would have come back the second time into the head before the gospel reaches all the towns of Israel. Yeah. Maybe you might be asking the same question in your mind. Yeah, but what we know, or what I know, is that Jesus does not lie. And Jesus himself said that heaven and earth will pass away, and none of his words, even not the smallest of his words, will go without coming to pass. So now, if Jesus said all the towns of Israel wouldn't have had the gospel before he would have come, well, that means somehow all the towns of Israel have not yet had the gospel by now. Yeah, because if they have heard the gospel, then it means Jesus would have come by now. Yeah, so that means the believers of those days were seriously being persecuted. So somehow they did not allow them to really, you know, they didn't allow them to really spread the gospel as they wanted. Somehow, yeah, the gospel was in that. Yeah, because if they were really allowed to spread the gospel as God intended, then maybe Jesus would have come by now. Yeah, so it implies that the early church were faced with very serious persecution, to the point that they were not even able to cover all the towns of Israel with the message of the kingdom. Yeah, my prayer is that God will lay his hand upon you and fill you with his spirit and power to spread his message to every town on earth that need to hear his message, that have not yet heard his message, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us move to the next scripture. We're going to read Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verse 1, and then verse 4. Verse 1 says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Praise the Lord. You can see here that a great persecution came upon the church at Jerusalem, and that persecution made them to be scattered abroad. This is an example of how persecution leads to the spread of the gospel and the spread of God's messengers. Yeah, because wherever these people were scattered to, they continued to preach the gospel there. They didn't leave Jerusalem to go and hide. They left Jerusalem to continue to preach the gospel and those places they fled to. Now let's look at verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went every way preaching the word. You can see that. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They didn't go to hide themselves like some people would do. Yeah. There are some pastors who started a church and eventually they closed down the church and went back to doing their businesses. They went back to making money. Yeah. But these believers were not like that. Yeah. They continued to preach the gospel at the places they ran to, the places they fled to. So we should learn from the early church. We should learn from the early Christians. Yeah, you know, I've said it before that the present church that we have now in the world is not ready for persecution. Now, the present church is full of people who don't even want to labor for the things of God's kingdom. There are people who only care about themselves. People who are only looking for what they would gain from God and are not willing to sacrifice anything for God. So if the church of today were to be persecuted in the same way the early church was persecuted, you should expect that a lot of people will go back into sin. A lot of people will go back into the world and they would forsake Jesus. They would deny Jesus. Yeah, that is so certain. Yeah, because our commitment to the Lord is so weak. Our seriousness is there. We don't even have that. no seriousness in our walk with God. Yeah. No real passion and love for God. No devotion and dedication to God. No fear of God. Yeah, so the church of today is just unprepared for persecution. And that shows that we are not real Christians. Yeah, because real Christians are always prepared for any kind of persecution. Real Christians are ready to defend their faith to the point of death. Yeah, so I pray that the Lord will show mercy on today's church and revive us in Jesus' name. Yeah, let us look at another scripture in Acts 11:19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Yeah. You know, that one is also an example. Yeah, because Jesus told them that the gospel must start with the Jews and then after that it should extend to the Gentiles. Yeah, but unfortunately the Jews were not ready to receive the gospel. Majority of the Jews persecuted the gospel. And whoever is preaching the gospel. Yeah, so eventually, God began to send special apostles to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Yeah, special apostles like Apostle Paul, Barnabas, Silas, yeah, and the rest. Yeah, God began to send them to the Gentiles because the Jews continued to reject Jesus and to reject the gospel. Yeah, so God now, in fact, even before all the apostle received his own calling to the Gentiles, his own calling to take the gospel to the Gentiles, God had started to open the door to the Gentiles that way in Israel. Yeah, like we saw in Acts 10. Yeah, when God sent Peter to the house of Cornelius. Yeah, God sent Peter to the house of Cornelius to preach the gospel to him and his household. We know that Cornelius was a Gentile man. Yeah, he was not a Jew. Yeah, and so was So was all the members of his household. They were also Gentiles. Yeah. So the believers that were scattered abroad, they felt they still need to preach more to the Jews. So I don't know, maybe that was what the Lord told them. I don't know. Yeah, they felt they still need to preach more to the Jews in wherever they were scattered to. Yeah, but if you study the book of Acts of the Apostles very well, you will see that the more they take the gospel to the Jews, the more persecution they keep facing. The more they attacked, they were faced with, yeah, the more persecutions, the more rejection, the more attacks. Yeah, because Satan has possessed the Jews to be or to use them as a great enemy of the gospel, to use them as a weapon of destruction, to destroy whoever preaches Jesus. And yeah, eventually people like Paul later stopped preaching to the Jews. He decided to face the Gentile nations. Yeah, and God gave him a lot of success. Yeah, and when he tried to return back to Jerusalem, they attacked him again. They were even going to kill him. Yeah, so we should learn from how the early Christians handled persecution. Yeah, we should learn from them, especially how they did not relent in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, even when their lives were at stake, even when they were likely to be killed for that, they still continued to spread the gospel. I pray for you that you will continue to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in wherever you find yourself, in Jesus' name. We are going to also look at how the enemies of the gospel often help broadcast God's message. Yeah, that is what we will look at right now. We want to look at how the enemies of God's gospel, the enemies of the gospel of Jesus, how they help to give more fame to the gospel of Jesus Christ while they are fighting it, while they are persecuting it. Yeah, because persecution also help to give more fame to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, while the enemy keeps on fighting the gospel of Jesus and the messengers of Jesus, somehow they also help to give more volume to that gospel. Somehow they also help to make the gospel more popular. Yeah, it does happen. Yeah, for instance, there are some people who decided to fight against some men of God on the social media. They decided to start fighting against some preachers of the gospel on the internet. And in the process of fighting against those preachers, they were making those preachers more popular. Those preachers began to get more followers and more subscribers on the internet, which they didn't get before they were being persecuted. Yeah, so sometimes God uses persecution to give more fame to his message and even to his messengers. So somehow the enemy, the enemy's action began to arouse interest in more people concerning the gospel. Yeah, because some people will begin to feel like, what is so special about this gospel of Jesus? Or about this so-called man of God that everyone is fighting him? Yeah, and in the process, they started to get interested in that same particular preacher that everyone is fighting. Yeah, and let us look at John chapter 19, verse 4 to 8. John 19, verse 4 to 8. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priest therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore had that saying, he was the more afraid. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now you can see that Pilate doesn't know much about Jesus until they brought him to Pilate. Until they brought Jesus to him. He didn't know more about Jesus. He did not even know that Jesus had testified that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God. So he became more afraid when he had that. Yeah, because the Romans who conquered Israel and colonized them, they have special fear for the God of Israel. Yeah, they have some respect and honor for the God of Israel, even though they don't serve that God, but they have heard a lot of stories about the God of Israel and about how powerful and how terrible he is. Yeah. So when Pilate got to know that this Jesus called himself the Son of God, he became more scared. Yeah, because he's not like Pilate was a good man. He wasn't a good man. He had killed many people. Yeah, but somehow he was very careful about what he would do to Jesus. Yeah, so my point is that there are a lot of people that we only hear about Jesus during persecution. Yeah, because persecution itself brings about should I say it? Persecution usually would stir up a lot of interest in many people, even in other countries. Yeah, if persecution is very intense in a country, for instance, other countries will begin to get to know that something is going on in this in that country where persecution is prevailing, and somehow they'll start to ask questions. Yeah, what is going on in this country? Why are people being killed in this country? What is the offense of those people? Yeah, for instance, the Islamic religion is known to be persecuting Christians. Yeah, and in so doing, that alone is popular. And yeah, every country, almost every country knows that Islamic religion is an enemy of Christianity. Yeah, because they have not they have not made that hidden. Yeah, they have publicly they have publicly shown themselves as the enemies of Jesus. Yeah, they have publicly shown themselves as terrorists who doesn't want Christians or Jews to leave. Yeah, so persecution usually would stir up interest in many people and in many nations. Yeah, let us also look at Mark 17, verse 5-7. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verse 5-7. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren of the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and this all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." You can see that those Jews were so envious because they realized that the preachers of the gospel were succeeding in their ministry, and more people were turning to Christianity. So that envy made them to become violent. They began to report them to the rulers. Telling lies about the messengers of God. They were saying that these people are talking about another king, even though they know that that was a lie, because Jesus was not going to overthrow Caesar. If Jesus was going to overthrow Caesar, he probably would have done that before they killed him. So they know that Christianity is about an invisible kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. But they were trying to convince the authorities that these men are committing crimes or treason. So in the process, they were making the name of Jesus more popular in the process of persecuting God's messengers. They were making the name of Jesus more popular. Let us also look at Acts chapter 19, verse 23 to 26. At the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, "Sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands." Praise the Lord. Now you can see in this place that that man named Demetrius was going to fight for his own career. Because the preaching of the gospel seems to have destabilized his career and was going to terminate his career. And he doesn't want that to happen. So he gathered men who have the same occupation with him and began to tell them, he began to poison their minds. He began to tell them that, "All of you, see, if we continue to allow this Paul to succeed in his gospel, sooner or later we will lose the source of our income. We are going to lose our wealth. Yeah, because you know that this is how we make money. We make money by designing silver items for the temples of the gods, like Diana. Yeah, so he was telling them that, you know, this is how we generate our income. Now, if we allow this man to continue to turn the hearts of people away from serving the gods onto one Jesus, that means we are going to lose our sources of income. Yeah. So, this is another way through which persecution usually come. Yeah, this is another way. Yeah, which is also another way through which the name of Jesus gets more popular. For instance, let's say Jesus began to heal all, let's say Jesus began to heal all the sick people in the hospitals, and Jesus began to heal them in thousands. And then the doctors and the nurses, they no longer have patients to treat. Definitely, there's going to be a persecution. Yeah, because it's a sign that they are going to lose their career. Yeah, so we have seen that happen many times. Yeah. We have seen a lot of persecution rise against God's people. And because certain people's careers were being rejected by the people. Yeah, like people whose career is to produce alcohol, to serve alcohol to people. Yeah, now for instance, let's say people start to stop taking alcohol in a certain environment after a man of God visited the environment and preached salvation. Yeah, eventually the people that are selling alcohol will start to persecute the man of God. Yeah, because they would say he has taken away the sources of their income. Yeah, and though that wouldn't happen if the source of their income is not of the devil, that wouldn't happen. Or because their occupation is of the devil. That was why the gospel terminated their career somehow. Praise the Lord. Let us also look at of the Apostles, chapter 24, verse 14. Acts of the Apostles, 24, verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Yeah, after the way which they call heresy. Yeah, a lot of people would call the gospel heresy. The true gospel, they will call it heresy. But even with that, there will still be people who will decide to follow that way that has been labeled heresy. Yeah. Even today, I see the church persecuting new preachers of Jesus Christ. Yeah. The church is going to persecute preachers that God will be raising from within the church. Yeah, and the church would call those preachers of heresy. Yeah, at that time has come already. So very soon, God is going to be raising some people among the church, and he's going to be using them mightily. And then other Christians and other ministers will start to call those people heretic or preachers of heresy. Yeah. So we should take note of that. Yeah, that this gospel is not going to be acceptable by everyone. Yeah, but there will still be many that will receive it. No, there will be many that will reject it. There will still be many that will receive it. Let us also look at Acts 25. Verse 18 to 19. Against whom, when the accuser stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I suppose, but ask certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to know that, to note that here, Paul was before the Gentile rulers. He was defending himself. Yeah, and he was defending his ministry. Yeah, so somehow the Gentile kings and rulers began to hear the gospel directly from the mouth of Paul, the apostle. Yeah. Do you know that if God wants some people somewhere to hear about his gospel, he might arrange something bad to happen so that you will find yourself among those people and you'll be able to tell them about Jesus? For instance, if God wants certain people in the prison to hear about Jesus, God might allow something bad to happen to you that will lead to you going to prison, so that you can talk to the people that are in prison. Of course, it's not that God will allow you to stay so long in the prison, but he knows that somebody have to talk to those people about Jesus. Yeah, and he wants that somebody to be you. Yeah, so let us always seek for the will of God, even in circumstances that looks negative. Maybe God allows that negative situation to happen to you because he wants you to open your mouth and talk to certain people around you at that time about Jesus. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, so the apostles, they're always sensitive to identify every opportunity through which they can rich, Jesus. I pray that you will also be sensitive like they were, in Jesus' name. The last scripture we're going to read in Acts 28, verse 22. Acts chapter 28. Verse 22. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this text, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Let me read from verse 17 so that you can understand better. Acts 28 verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people, or customs, or our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews speak against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this fact, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Now, in this place, Paul had reached Rome, and he was taken to Rome because he decided to appeal to Caesar. They accused him of offenses that makes no sense according to the Roman laws. Though it could make sense according to the laws of Moses. But it made no sense according to the Roman laws. So the Roman leaders, they would have released Paul. But many Jews still spoke against him, just the way they forced Pilate to crucify Jesus. So the same way, they were not going to agree that Paul should be released. They were not going to agree to that. And because the Jews have influence, because much of the money that the Roman government were making from Israel were being organized by the religious leaders. So the Roman government were gaining a lot from the religious leaders, because the religious leaders, leeway, helping them to gather a lot of taxes and money from the people. Yeah, so the religious leaders, they had a lot of influence on the Roman government, especially financial influence. Because the Roman government, all they wanted is money, taxes. Yeah, and the religious leaders, the Jews, they were able to mobilize the people to do what the Roman government asked of them. And they were also able to generate income from the people in order to, you know, and settling the Roman government financially. They were up to date in providing every money that the government, the Roman government demands from them, even though a lot of the Jews were suffering in poverty. But the religious leaders, in partnership with the Roman government, were making a lot of money from the people. So somehow the religious leaders have some influence, and that was why Pilate could not, I mean, they had some influence in those days, and that was why Pilate could not turn down the offer. Is it offer? Pilate could not turn down the demand when they demanded that Jesus should be crucified. Yeah, Pilate could not turn down that decision from the religious leaders, because of the influence they had financially, because or politically, maybe I use the word politically. Yeah, because they told Pilate that they would report him to Caesar, which they are able to do, that they would lie against him and he might lose his position if he failed to crucify Jesus. So in the same way, many of the leaders would have released Paul, because whatever crime they said he committed doesn't make sense to the Roman laws. And according to the Roman laws, he has not done anything that deserves imprisonment. So they would have released him. But some of the religious leaders that had political influence on the Roman government or in the Roman government would not allow them to release Paul. Yeah. So Paul was seeking the help of the Jews in Rome. Yeah, was seeking their help that they should try to hear him out and see that he has not committed any crime, and see that even according to the law of Moses, he has not done anything wrong. Yeah, so that was what he was trying to tell them in that Acts chapter 28 from verse 17. And those Jews were saying that all they have known about Christianity, that was what they mean. That was what they meant by this sect. They said all that we have known about this sect is that it is being spoken against every way. Yeah, so it is not today that Christianity would be persecuted. Yeah, we should expect more persecution as time goes by. In fact, there would have been a lot of persecution, if not that many of our church leaders have failed God. Now, many of our church leaders today all over the world have failed God. That is why it seems there is little persecution. Yeah. If all our church leaders are preaching the truth, the raw truth of the gospel, there would be a lot of persecution. Yeah, even right now. But somehow, many church leaders have modernized Christianity. They have, they have looked for a way to make Christianity, something that is, how should I say it? Something that can be mixed up with what it is. Something that can be mixed up with the worldly standards and the worldly system. So somehow our church leaders, though not all, some of our church leaders, they have joined Christianity with the world. They have merged Christianity with the worldly standards, and they have made it so polluted and so watered down. They have adulterated the gospel, so that they have made it so polluted, so worldly, to the point that there is no longer a cutting edge in our gospel. But before now, there used to be a cutting edge. And what I mean by cutting edge is that there used to be something in the gospel that differentiates the gospel from the system of the world and from the standards of the world. Yeah, and the people of the world, they knew their place, so they don't just mingle with Christianity anyhow. They knew their place, and they knew that Christianity is opposite of worldliness. But today, our church leaders seems to have merged Christianity together with worldly standards. Yeah, and because of that unequal yoke, that is why it seems like everything is okay, but actually, the church be heavily persecuted even right now as I'm talking to you. Yeah, because persecution is going to rise when more people stand for the truth in every place they find themselves. That is what usually brings up persecution. But because many Christians are no longer standing for the truth, yeah, so that, and many churches have compromised with the world. That is why it looks like there is no heavy persecution as we used to have in those days. Yeah, but that is not an escape. The church will still be heavily persecuted. Yeah, but it's better for us to be ready for that than to think we can just continue to enjoy peace. Now, even Jesus told us that we will not have peace in this world. only in Him we have peace. Yeah, so we should not expect peace from the people of this world. We should expect persecution. So sooner or later, persecution will still rise, especially when revivals begin in the church, when some people begin to stand for the truth, then persecution will come again. Yeah, it will definitely come. Let us also read Philippians chapter 1. Now, I want you to know that persecution is a sign that our Christianity is genuine. And it's a sign that that we are still standing for the truth. Yeah, absence of persecution means we are doing a fake Christianity. Yeah, genuine Christianity will always bring persecution. Yeah, I want you to take note of that. So let us read Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am sent for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, and will rejoice. Praise the Lord. You can see here, Apostle Paul was talking of two type of preachers. Yeah, I was talking of preachers that were preaching. They were preaching Christ out of envy, out of strife. And some were preaching out of love. Yeah. So that there were some Jewish Christians or Jewish ministers that also hated Apostle Paul at that time, even while he was in prison. Yeah, they also hated him so much. Yeah. So persecution will even rise from fellow Christians, fellow believers, fellow preachers. Yeah, I pray that the Lord will strengthen you and empower you to stand firm in what you believe, even in the face of serious, heavy and deadly persecution, in Jesus' name. So I'm going to stop here. If you have any question, you can ask on the group. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for the things we have learned during the course of this teaching. Thank you for showing us how to see persecution as an opportunity to spread your message in every place we find ourselves. Thank you also for showing us how persecution can lead to fame. Father, I ask that you help everyone here to take the preaching of your gospel serious and to dedicate all of their deeds to preaching your messages in everywhere they find themselves. In Jesus' name, I ask, O Lord, that you give everyone here the boldness and courage and fearlessness to preach the gospel in places where they want the gospel to be preached, and even in places where they don't want the gospel to be preached. Father, fill us with such boldness and fearlessness in Jesus' name. I pray for you that whatever the Lord has called you to do, you shall be faithful in doing it in Jesus' name, and that you shall be willing to do it even in the face of rejection and attacks from people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.